Okay, let's wind up the rubber bands and see if we can get through the rest of the day here. When we broke for lunch, we were talking about the pension discount rate, and I think we had all weighed in, and I heard a couple of messages in that I'd like to summarize and propose a course to a committee. Message number one was the tentative agenda decision as drafted would not effectively limit practice, that we would still see the diversity or even worse, a race to the bottom. And that's not a desirable outcome. So we would need to work on that anyway. Observation number two, anything we did today, even if we knew exactly what the answer was, which we don't, wouldn't be available for year end anyway. Because we'd have to expose it for 2 months, bring it down back to what would then be the March meeting, and so it would have limited value. Number three, I think we did identify two or three key concepts that need our attention. The significant one being in the nature of investment risk and exactly what that means in the context of deciding whether or not you have a high-quality corporate bond, because the standard is clear that they wanted a source of a discount rate that was free of what they called investment risk. So we need to focus on that. So what I'm proposing is, on that basis, we just carry this issue forward and take the time we need to do it right rather than trying to rush to an answer. I would love to just say, it's double A, get on with it. But I don't sense that this committee would be ready to do that. So, Guido?
Well, I understand where you are coming from, and I agree with you that that's probably a project that we or the board has to look at in the future, so we can't come up with a clear solution for year-end 2012. I agree with you. But doing nothing and not providing any guidance or clarification, I think, as ESMA has said, they are looking for clarification from the committee. And I would also think that ESMA and the other regulators would look at a tentative agenda decision, which would not solve the problem, finally, but which would give some, at least some guidance on the direction or what we are looking at would help. So my proposal would be to include something in the wording of the tentative agenda decision along the lines that we say, we think it's a change in accounting estimate and you have to provide the disclosures for a change in accounting estimate. My understanding is that the disclosures in IS 8 require you to provide something like a double calculation, which is, this is what the pension liability would have looked like under the old estimate and this is how it looks like now. That would give some information to users and investors. So that would be one thing. And the other one, with regard to the investment risk or credit default risk, something along the lines like, okay, the IS 19 is telling you you should use high quality corporate bonds. So based on this, the committee would not expect that this new estimate would deviate too much in respect of the investment risk or default risk that you take into consideration when you choose your universe of corporate bonds that are high quality corporate bonds. So I think that would, I know it doesn't solve the problem, but it would at least give some guidance and some useful information to users and also prepare us. And I would think that maybe Fabienne can help us out on here, because ESMA is waiting for clarification. I would agree with you if ESMA would say, well, that's a tentative agenda decision, we don't care about it. But I think that would be also useful to the enforcers.
I guess I only have two reservations with that. Your points are well taken, except I don't think it's a change in estimate. I think it's a change. So the method that you use to select a discount rate is a policy, in my mind.
No, you would still, I mean, we could debate that, but I firmly think it's changing estimate because you are still using high-quality corporate bonds.
And my point is we haven't had the opportunity or even a basis to have the debate.
Well, maybe we could ask around the table where the views are. If there are split views, I agree with you, then. But the reason why I'm a little bit concerned is about this. This is a real, as we have heard before, in ESMA, everybody's involved here. This is a real issue. And if we say, let's wait without giving any guidance up until next year, it will be a disaster. We are talking about billions here.
What were you saying for the second point? I got the first bit on.
The first one was the disclosure on ISH, if it's a change in accounting estimate. And the other one is that we say something along the lines and where you have to look at high-quality corporate bonds. So when you do your new estimate, we would not expect that the credit risk or investment risk that you take into consideration when you build your universe of corporate bonds that you use to do the calculation would deviate too much from what you did before. So if it's double A now, I would not say that use single A, single B, triple B. I would have problems with that. Going to single A, you could still say, okay, the difference is not too high. I agree that this is, maybe at the end of the day, we will come up with a different conclusion, but for the time being, that would give some guidance out there and would help keeping the financial statements comparable at least to a certain degree.
Can I suggest an alternative? I understand the desire to do something. What if we drafted a rejection notice that pointed people to the language of the standard and the basis, and that said, you know, the desire is to have a rate that does not incorporate actuarial or investment risks, and that investment risk is not just default risk, it's also market risk, it's also spread risk. And do that, so we would just be pointing people to the language of the standard.
I think that's really, the standard is out there, and there is, nevertheless, there's diversity in practice, because if you look into the basis of, that would not help from my point of view, because if you look at the basis of conclusions, some people say investment risk is general investment risk, so there should be no investment risk at all, but the standard says the investment risk should not be included, so a lot of people think what this means is the investment risk of the plan assets that you invested in.
Yeah. That's clearly not what the standard says. But
I'm just saying.
Guido, I'm afraid we're just, this conversation is proving my point. Trying to issue something on the fly like this is going to be, in my mind, a bad idea. Andrew?
Well, I'm not sure it is a bad idea, Wayne. I quite like Guido's idea. I mean, first of all, I think it's clear it's a change in estimate. Secondly, yes, it will only be a tentative agenda decision, but it will give some directions to our thinking. I mean, if we said there are some issues to sort out here, you know, we'll take time to sort them out, but in the meantime, if you change your estimate, these are the disclosure requirements, that sort of thing, I think at least that is helpful, because otherwise, if we say nothing, I think it'll be a free-for-all this year. And the timing of bringing it to this committee is unfortunate, but I'm just concerned it'll be a free-for-all unless we say something, give some direction.
Yeah. Fabian?
From an SMS perspective, my understanding, reading the common priorities for 2012 that Luca was referring to earlier, at the moment ESMA recommends that the entities should not change their approach to determining discount rates. So I guess that's a signal for your end not to change anything. So I'm not so concerned about your end than reaching something in the near future, even if not for 2012 accounts. So I think ESMA would really like not to see anything out that would be too quick and too.
So you'd rather that we take the time?
Yes, okay. Definitely.
Luca, and then Laurence. I thought this was going to be a quickie. I'm sorry.
Just to come back to the Guido proposal, just to understand, are you thinking to integrate the present agenda decision, saying that you have to express the judgment that adopted, and if you have made the change, indicate the effect of this accounting estimates, or focus only to the change in accounting estimates? Both. Okay.
John, Lawrence.
I mean, ESMA may have issued clarification about what they expect at 31 December, but there is a world of other IFRS jurisdictions where what ESMA say doesn't really have any implications. So I do think that we need to do something for pre 31 December. Otherwise, we just get a free for all.
And what would something be in your mind?
Well, I think Guido's proposal, I'd be supportive of it. At least provides some guidance for what we expect to see if people are going to change the way they approach what are high quality bonds.
John?
Yes, I have a different view from John. It seemed to me that the pressure comes from Europe more so than elsewhere, although I don't have a vision from everywhere else. But if in Europe it's a bit frozen for the time being, I don't think that, at least in North America, there will be pressure unless that comes out this way, saying basically you can revise your judgment. So the status quo, I believe, I think would mostly work if ESMA deals with Europe. So my preference would be that instead of rushing and getting in the wall, that if we take the time to reflect on that and come with some kind of maybe more comprehensive guidance as to what we believe is the right answer, not in a so long time frame. That would be my preference. But anything that would encourage change of practice at this moment, I think it's not the right thing to do because we haven't discussed. We don't really know what constituents should do. And anything along what Guido says, I believe, would encourage changes to the current practice. If I understand the current practice being limited to AA corporate bonds, then it will say it will encourage at least a change before we can discuss this issue at length. And it's a very, very significant issue. I repeat it. This is the most significant issue we have had for quite a while in terms of impact on the financial statement of the reporting entity. So anything we can do to say, let's keep it the way it is, and we'll come back with what we believe is the right answer very soon would be my preference.
Laurence, Andrew, Guido, and Scott. No, Scott hadn't been in yet, so Laurence, Scott, Andrew, whatever.
So I am aware of ESMA's statement that ESMA says that entities should not change their approach to determining discount rate as long as IFRIC has not clarified high-quality corporate bond meaning. My question to Fabienne would be, ESMA is making that statement. Now, how confident are we that regulators within the European Union are going to enforce that statement? I know in my jurisdiction, I think it's going to be enforced. I'm not so confident about other jurisdictions. So, and as John or Jean highlighted, so this deals with this. Possibly deals with Europe, and I'm not even sure of that. What about the rest of the world? And if Europe enforces it, is it fair then that in other parts of the world they change and European companies cannot change because of regulators? So I see a problem. So in effect, I'm starting to think, aren't we already too late? for the urines. Is there anything we can do today to stop a change? First, do we want to stop a change? That's the first question, compared prior practices. And can we avoid the thing to happen? Because as soon as it leaks somewhere around the world, I can tell you it leaks everywhere.
Scott?
I think that there is nothing we can do today that will not have the effect of encouraging diversity. We don't have the time to do something that will narrow or discourage diversity. So unless ESMA is telling us they need something, my preference would be to continue thinking about this before doing anything. On some of these other issues, my initial inclination was that these kinds of changes were changes in policy as opposed to changes in estimates. I also note regarding this risk thing, there's a long discussion in BC 132 to 134 of IAS 19 that ends with IASC had not identified clear evidence that the expected return on an appropriate portfolio of assets provides a relevant and reliable indication of the risks associated with a defined benefit obligation. Consequently, IASC decided that discount rate should reflect the time value of money but should not attempt to capture those risks. So that was my leaning, that we were headed towards a risk-free rate, not a rate that encompasses anything else. But I think we would not be able to agree on some language that emphasizes that today. So I think we need longer to deal with it. I think all we should issue from today's meeting is note that we discussed it and we understand this is a serious issue and we will think about it more.
Andrew?
It would be nice to know if we don't do anything, that ESMA regards what it's put out as an instruction not to change. Because if it's just recommendation or interesting thoughts, it's not going to have the desired effect. If it's an instruction for people not to change until they've sorted it out, then that kind of helps. And I'm not quite sure exactly what it is.
I'm not sure that's a fair question to ask Fabian.
No answer is also.
I think it's in the order of a rhetorical question.
As a regulator, nobody cared if the question was fair. Yes, that's right.
Guido?
Well, probably we are not going to get an answer from Fabian. I thought that she would help us out there. I'm just saying that with the staff paper and nothing, we are not going to decide anything. The floodgates are open. We as auditors will not be able to qualify our opinion. We can deal with it next year, but then the whole story is gone already. And I appreciate ESMA saying, well, we have something in there. If you go to our website and there's one sentence saying, well, you should keep it, or it doesn't help a lot. It doesn't help at all, actually. So at least I think we should, if we could come to a conclusion here, I see that there is divergence in views whether it's change in accounting estimate or not. If we could conclude at least on that we have some disclosure in there. Otherwise, I understand that this is a huge issue. It has been, and that we need to think about it more thoroughly. I totally agree on that. So it's not the end of the thinking that we put something in there and say, well, you should think about it and put some disclosure in there. I agree with that. But I'm telling you, if we just going out like this and say, well, there's something that ESMA says, it would be good for the corporate balance sheets, though. We have a much higher equity ratios in the next year.
Okay.
Bernd and then Kaz, and then I'm going to try another proposal.
Well, I agree with Guido in terms of if we do nothing and there's no guidance whatsoever and the auditors can't stop diversity, then it's better to have at least something that says, well, but you have to follow these disclosure requirements so that the users know what the companies are doing instead of doing nothing. And as you said, the floodgates are open. And when it comes to fairness, I think when ESMA puts out in early November a paper saying, we recommend companies doing nothing unless the interpretations committee issues something, knowing that this is the last meeting this year, and if we start discussing something this year, that there will not be anything out there before next May, probably, from us officially, because we have to have the due process. So I'm not sure that maybe they wanted us to do something in the rejection note. Otherwise, why should they do this? Why should they ask in November to wait for the interpretations committee to do something? Or they didn't think about the timeline themselves. So I'd rather support Guido's approach to say, well, we have a tentative agenda, a rejection, saying at least disclose what you're doing.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, that's a disclosure that, whether we call it a policy or an estimate, already has to be made, a with and without disclosure, before and after. And so, Cass, before you other guys come in, the agenda decision that you're proposing would say only that we're aware of this issue, we're thinking about it. In the interim, we remind everybody that you have this disclosure requirement you have to meet. That's consistent with Scott's view that there's nothing we can do to keep the floodgates closed anyway, so we might as well make sure everybody knows how deep the water is, to keep the metaphor open. Kaz?
Well, I don't think it's a big issue currently in the Asia market, rather than compared to Europe. But I prefer just to consider maybe take more time to understand the consequences. But understanding the discussion and then knowing the agenda decision or notes we are disclosing. From preparer's perspective, if we have such a kind of risk, maybe we have a big impact, and I wouldn't change currently, knowing that ESMA is saying that, and we are going to go less risk-free rate. That would be the direction. Understanding that, from preparer's perspective, we wouldn't change. So I think that's a problem that I thought normal corporate finance person's thinking. I think that might be wrong, but I thought that might be helpful.
Scott, last word.
Maybe I'm being pessimistic, but I think even an agenda decision that says if you make a change, don't forget about these disclosures, will be read by some as saying, oh, IFRIC believes we can change.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
So definitely I'm being pessimistic, but maybe warranted.
Okay, we got two choices. Choice one is the Guido proposal, which I'm going to describe, and Guido, if I get it wrong, you correct me. Guido's proposal is we issue a very short agenda decision that says we're aware of the problem, we're working on it, and in the interim, remember the disclosure requirements around changes in estimates and or policies.
That was lost was, you know, looking at what the standard talks about high quality corporate bonds, that we would say, please take into account that the change in the estimate when looking at investment or credit default risk, we would not expect it
to deviate too much from your estimates that you did before. Because that was the issue. I mean, some people around this table said, well, investment risk, it's probably risk-free rate. So everybody is concerned about taking into consideration corporate bonds that have a significant default or investment risk. So pointing that out and saying, well, you know, please be aware that this is an issue and we're talking about high quality here, so you cannot go out there and take double B or whatever. I mean, I'm not saying we should mention double B, but just pointing out that please be cautious when you're doing this new estimate when it comes to investment and credit default risk, because that's, I think, what Cass has said. If companies are making the change, we should at least tell them, be cautious. We are looking especially at this investment risk and credit risk. So this is an issue that you should take into consideration if you make the change in estimate.
Let me put it in different words, and then you tell me if I understood you. Essentially, what you're saying is, however you thought about what the words high quality meant last year, it hasn't changed. High hasn't gotten low. So whatever you thought high quality was last year, and this is why I'm inclined to say it's a policy change, but let's not have that argument. Whatever you thought the words meant last year, they mean the same thing now, is essentially what you're saying. And so,
or at least they don't mean something a whole lot different now.
A whole lot different.
Okay, we're going to need to work on the wording. The alternative is do nothing. And the concern I've heard expressed about either of those is that the flood's already here. So the KEDA proposal, subject to staff drafting that we can't get done in the next hour, who would support that? And the do nothing? Okay. The will of the committee is that we pursue an agenda decision along the lines that Guido described, which would emphasize, just to be absolutely sure that these guys write down what you think we said. Number one, there is no reason to believe that there is a significant difference between what high quality meant last year and what it means this year. And number two, remember the disclosure requirements that you have to meet regarding, and I'd like to just mention both policy and estimate so we don't foreclose either. Don't forget the disclosure requirements in IAS 8, so it's going to be a pretty short agenda decision. And obviously, then we have to keep working on this one.
But there's the fact that I think it's paragraph 122 of IAS 1 that implies that you must describe how you determine your discomfort.
Okay. We can also refer to that. Okay. Thanks, gang.
Do I understand, Wayne, that we will hint that we are continuing to work
on
that?
Oh, yeah, we won't hint. We'll tell people.
Because that could be a big detriment to changing, you know, down and then...
Yeah. Okay. We have Denise's revised wording, but I'm not going to ask you to respond to it immediately. Let's get it around to everybody. And we'll make that the last thing we talk about today.